Own universe. Others were merely sheets of energy. Dimensional membranes, sheets of energy, own universe. Then there were cylindrical, own universe, and even looped membrane, sheets of energy. Within no time at all, and even looped membranes.
Go! Remember?
No, I didn't take your order, sorry.
But yes, I did.
Okay,
before I sat down.
Okay. Can you come to pick your food because it was already
up to here.
Hey, you're not welcome back here, okay, ma'am?
You better back off.
You better turn that around.
I am.
Turn that motherfucker.
It's not going to hurt you.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead. Turn that motherfucker off.
Now what? Back off. Back off.
No comment about... It's from a church.
Thank you. Thank you. M can be used to indicate a different position. But it too is of indeterminate size. To create the first dimension, all we need is a line joining any two points. A first dimensional object has length only, no width or depth. If we now take our first dimensional line and draw a second line crossing the first, we've entered the second dimension. The object we're representing now has a length and a width, but no depth. To help us with imagining the higher dimensions, we're going to represent our second dimensional object as being created using a second line, which branches off from the first. Now let's imagine a race of two-dimensional creatures called flatlanders. What would it be like to be a flatlander living in their two-dimensional world? A two-dimensional creature would have only length and width, as if they were royalty on an impossibly flat playing card. Picture this. A flatlander couldn't possibly have a digestive tract because the pipe from their mouth to their bottom would divide them into two pieces. And a flatlander trying to view our three-dimensional world would only be able to perceive shapes in two-dimensional cross-sections. A balloon, for instance, would start as a tiny dot, become a hollow circle, below. Okay, the first three dimensions can be described with these words: length, width, and depth. What word can we assign to the fourth dimension? One answer would be duration. If we think of ourselves as we were 1 minute ago, and then imagine ourselves as we are at this moment, the line we could draw from the 1 minute ago version to the right now version would be a line in the fourth dimension. If you were to see your body in the fourth dimension, you'd be like a long undulating snake, with your embryonic self at one end and your deceased self at the other. But because we live from moment to moment in the third dimension, we're like our second dimensional flatlanders. Just like that flatlander who could only see two-dimensional cross-sections of objects from the dimension above, we, as three-dimensional creatures, can only see three-dimensional cross-sections of our fourth dimensional self. One of the most intriguing aspects of there being one dimension stacked on another is that down here in the dimensions below, we can be unaware of our motion in the dimensions above. Here's a simple example. If we make a Mobius strip, take a long strip of paper, add one twist to it, and tape the ends together, and draw a line down the length of it, our line will eventually be on both sides of the paper before it meets back with itself. It appears, somewhat amazingly, that the strip has only one side, so it must be a representation of a two-dimensional object. And this means that a two-dimensional flatlander, traveling down the line we just drew, would end up back where they started without ever feeling like they had left the second dimension. In reality, they would be looping and twisting in the third dimension, even though to them it felt like they were traveling in a straight line. The fourth dimension, time, feels like a straight line to us, moving from the past of the looping and dimension is, but back where they start dimension above, it's back with itself. Fifth dimension is three-dimensional creeping, but there will actually be, take a long strip of paper, of a prop, transport it to an, start as a lander, start start as a tiny dot.
Psychologist Jürgen Keil from the University of Tasmania was one of them. After many hours of careful preparation, soared to over 200.
When we arrived, she hesitated a bit. But when she heard that nobody knew of the whole thing, she was very friendly and invited us to come in and invited us to stay to have dinner with her.
Ha ha ha!